We're continuing the shiur on the topic of simcha. This is shiur number 20 on this subject. In the previous shiur, we spoke, the second part of the shiur spoke about Shabbos, about how incredibly important it is for a Jew to be happy on Shabbos and what it accomplishes. We said a lot about it, but there were one or two very important points that I wanted to add to make it complete. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that shiur was actually given on Friday night. And he says that Rabbeinu Zal asked him a question. Rabbeinu Zal said to me, "Are you happy on Shabbos?" And Rav Nosson Zal says that my response was that there are times that I feel very religious on Shabbos. I feel very spiritual. I feel that I want to be holy. Rabbeinu Zal said that on Shabbos, you have to be happy, period. And he reprimanded me, Rav Nosson Zal says, to make sure to be happy on Shabbos. And that was when he gave that entire shiur that we mentioned earlier, where one of the issues that he addressed is this issue of yira, awe and respect for Hashem, how yira has a special aliyah on Shabbos. It's elevated if a person is happy. And he said that Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded me regarding this, and he emphasized that I should work hard at being happy, in a good mood, and to make sure to have plenty of pleasures on Shabbos, whether it's food, whether it's clothing. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted the Gemara, which says that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem gives a person their budget for the coming year. He allocates how much money the person is going to have for the coming year, excluding the expenses of Shabbos, which means that any money, any additional money that a person spends to beautify the Shabbos, whether it's for food, clothing, housewares, whatever it is, anything to enhance the Shabbos, you know that you're not taking away from your allocated budget, from the money that's been designated to you, for you by Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said at the time, even the simplest religious Jews enjoy the fish and the soup. They enjoy the simple things on Shabbos. So he said to Rabbeinu Nosson Zal, don't be different. Make sure whatever it takes, every aspect of Shabbos, to enjoy it. Then Rabbeinu Zal looked at him and he said, now you're going to have what to be depressed about on Shabbos, right? Now that we emphasized how critical and important it is to be on Shabbos, you're going to have what to worry about. So Rav Nosson Zal says, the truth is, he read my mind. That thought was actually going through my mind regarding, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make sure to be happy on Shabbos when very often there are different circumstances and things that come up that make it difficult? And the fact that he said it, and he said it that way with a smile, the way Rabbeinu Zal said it, Rav Nosson Zal says, it consoled me and it encouraged me tremendously that at least I know one thing. I'm not going to be unhappy on Shabbos about the fact that I'm not happy on Shabbos. That I'm not going to do. Rav Nosson Zal says, in addition, when he was saying this, I thought and I said, I really want to be happy on Shabbos. And what I meant to say is that even if Lamaisa, I'm not going to succeed at doing this, even if I'm not going to succeed all the time, I know how much emphasis Rabbeinu Zal has placed on Rotzayn, a Jew wanting to do the right thing. And I wanted to say to Rabbeinu Zal that regardless of anything, I really want to be happy on Shabbos. So Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal turned to the people that were there at the time and he said, did you hear what he said? He's on the mark. He knows. Meaning that this is the correct attitude for a Jew. Even at times when a person can't actually fulfill a mitzvah, can't do it as well as he wants to, the fact that he wants to do it That has to be very precious to him. That I know that Hashem enjoys the fact that I really want to do the right thing. Hashem knows. I don't always succeed, but the fact that I want means a lot to Hashem. We've mentioned many times that the Torah tells us when it speaks about the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, what was it comprised of? What made the Mishkan, the tabernacle, or the Beis HaMikdash, the holy temple, what made it so holy? What ingredient did this have that was a magnet to attract the presence of Hashem there? Was it the gold? Was it the silver? Was it the copper? And Rabbeinu Zal mentions, he emphasizes, that when the Torah speaks about putting together the ingredients of the Mishkan, it says, Kol nediv lev, Yivieho es trumas Hashem. Every Jew who has a desire they want to contribute, should put that into the Mishkan, should take that desire and incorporate it into the Mishkan. That's what the Mishkan was really comprised of. All the good desire of every single Jew, the Ritzoinos, Kol nediv lev, Yivieho es trumas Hashem. The nedivus slave of the people. That's what made that place so holy and so special. And that's what attracted the presence of Hashem to fill that place. And it was the connection between heaven and earth. It was everything. The holiest place on earth, because it's comprised of this nedivus slave. That's how special this issue of a Jew having good desires, wanting to do good. Rav Nosson Zal adds that in addition, Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded us, and he emphasized tremendously that we should make sure to sing a lot of Shabbos songs and to ignore if there are any people present at our table, or if we're at a simcha, we're at a sheva brachos, we're sitting at a table with other people, and we see that some of the people might not be so happy, some of the people are not into that much, we should ignore that totally and make sure to sing Shabbos songs with tremendous joy, and to see to it that the Shabbos table is full of simcha, because that's the most important ingredient for Shabbos, this issue of simcha. Now we move on to chapter 23 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is one of the chapters where Rabbi Nachman focuses only on the topic of simcha. And he gives an incredible analogy. Rabbeinu Zal says that sometimes when people are having a very good time, they're dancing from joy, celebrating some kind of important thing, there's an individual who's not into it. He's standing on the side, and even when people motion to him, come and join us, he shakes his head, no, thank you, not interested, leave me alone, I'm not part of this. Because the person is sad, unhappy, and what happens is, sometimes the people that are there are not willing to take no for an answer. They realize that this isn't the way it should be. Everybody in the room is going to be dancing, and one or a couple of guys are going to stand on the side, no deal. And they go over to the person, and as the person is saying no, 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 they're saying yes, 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 and they grab him, and he's still saying no, and this time he's saying no harder. He's trying to run away or pull away, and they won't take no for an answer. They grab him, and if two people can't do it, they call over another two, and they pull him and schlep him, and he's screaming and kicking, and no, 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 no. And they're going, yes. They pull him in, they grab him, they won't let go. They continue the circle, and usually, unless the person is really terrible, usually something will snap, and the person will realize that it's not the nice thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. If everybody is asking you, if everybody wants you to join, don't be a spoil sport. Don't pour, salt or pepper on such a simcha. And that person will start dancing also. And very often, because of the fact that person has made such a radical change in going from minus 100 to plus 20 or plus, sometimes that person's dancing will be a little unusual, different, or exuberant, or this or that, and it'll multiply the joy of the whole record, the fact that we got him in too. We yanked him out of his depression, out of his unhappiness. We forced him to complete the circle, to complete the simcha. Rabbi Nazal says that on a spiritual level, on a religious level, this is also the case, meaning that when a person is experiencing joy, any kind of joy, celebration, some kind of a happy occasion, what happens is the elements of sadness, those things that would tend to make that person unhappy or upset or worried or suffer, they move to the side. They see they don't have a choice. This person who has a list, who this entire day until 6 o'clock in the evening was walking around gloomy and unhappy and worried about his taxes and about his children and about the whole list of worries. But now it's 6 o'clock, he's come home and he's got a wedding of one of his close relatives, and he gets out of his work clothes, he puts on his fine Shabbos suit and his tie, a nice white shirt, and he showers and he's stripping away the layers of unhappiness, and he's putting on his dancing shoes, and he's starting to hear his whistling a tune a little bit. He knows there's going to be a band there. They're going to be playing music. And his wife says, I heard that this one is the caterer. The food's going to be unbelievable. And he starts really getting warmed up. He's very happy. But the question is, what happened to all of those worries? What happened to his taxes and his boss at work and all the different things that were worrying him? The answer is they've stepped aside. They can't fight what this celebration he's about to have, these 4 or 5 hours, but they're okay, they'll release him for the 4 or 5 hours. They'll stand on the side. They know that the minute the wedding's over, or possibly even in the middle of the wedding, when the music stops, they're going to jump right back in and grab hold of him, and they're going to show him that they're alive and well. All of his worries and troubles and all the reasons to be unhappy, nervous, angry, are all still alive and well. Rabbi Nazal says, therefore, that's not really doing the job completely. That's not called being besimcha 100%. Even though he's dancing at the wedding and he's kicking up his feet and everything. Rabbi Nazal says, real simcha is that when he's enjoying that meal at the wedding, or the dancing, or whatever it is, for him to think about his worries and everything, to remember those things, and say, hey, look at this. Despite those problems, look at me. I can have a great time. I can enjoy the food. I can enjoy the singing. I can enjoy this. Despite all of those difficulties. Meaning, not only he does, it's not that they're over there and I'm over here. He says, come here, you. You with the gloomy, doomy face. Come here, gloomy, doomy. You're going to enjoy the dessert, this chocolate sundae too. You're going to enjoy this song too. I'm not letting you out of this. And Rabbi Nazal says, that's called Shleimus HaSimcha. When a person doesn't ignore the problem, he's not ignoring the things that are made, he twists their arm and says, don't worry, I know about you. Don't stand on the side. Come here, you. You can also smile. Big deal. So what? Everyone has problems. But enjoy the fun. Come here. You know, I want you in the circle. I want you enjoying this also. And Rav Nosson Zal expounds on this in Likutei Halachos and Likutei Tefilos. He gives us many examples of this. For instance, when the Yetzer Hara, on a religious level, when the Yetzer Hara has a person dwelling on all the terrible things he did on a given day, all the mistakes, got up late, missed this, missed that, wasn't concentrating on half a shachris and all of these things, and now he's walking into mincha. He's about to start mincha, and he reminds himself of what a terrible shachris he had. And the reason why the Yetzer Hara is reminding him of this is to convince him that for him to think that he's going to enjoy mincha or that mincha is going to be anything special, forget about it. No way. Rabbi Nazal says the correct thing to do is for the person to say, look at this. Despite the fact that I didn't wake up, look at this, Hashem is still giving me the zechus to daven mincha. I'm still alive, I still have another chance, and I'm able to daven, I'm going into shul. Even a person like me knows if Hashem wanted to, he could have given me a whack, and I'd be in bed for 3 weeks for the kind of mourning I gave him, the kind of mourning. But instead, look at this, Hashem's giving me an opportunity to daven mincha. Boy, I'm so lucky. This is an example of a person taking that those sad thought, those negative thoughts, and not leaving him on the side, but he's bringing him in, he's grabbing hold of them, and he says, I know exactly what you're thinking, and that's all the more reason for me to be even happier that a guy like me who's done so many bad things, and Hashem still allows me to put on a talis and tefillin, he allows me to go to the mikveh, he allows me to study Torah. So despite the mistakes, despite all the wrong, and not only that, the Torah says that a person like me, who has done so many terrible things, Hashem has much more nachas when I do a mitzvah, b'mokom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim mecholim lamoid. That when a person who fell, who did all kinds of terrible things, and that person comes back, that pleases Hashem, that impresses Hashem much more than a person who's been religious their whole life, they've been steady, they were raised this way, etc., etc. These are some of the examples of taking these negative feelings and including them in the circle. And Rabbeinu Zal says that this concept is merumos in a pasuk in Yeshaya. There the pasuk is speaking about the fact that Hashem is, the prophet is telling the Jewish people that even though Sancheirav, the mighty general Sancheirav and his armies are occupying Eretz Yisrael now, Hashem is going to drive them out. The Jews are going to achieve happiness and joy, and the negative forces are going to leave. So the pasuk there says, Sosoin v'simcho yasigu, you will attain joy and happiness, v'nasu yogoin v'anocha, and the sorrow and the negativity is going to flee, is going to run away, meaning that those forces of Sanche, they're going to be forced to flee Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal says, this is teaching us that many times when a Jew has an occasion to celebrate, to be happy, when the negative things in his life, the negative feelings see that, they run away because they want to make sure that he doesn't drag them into the circle. So they run away to the side or they run away to hide, so that they're going to be ready the moment they see an opening, any weakness, any stopping of the joy, they're going to jump right back in and grab him and schlep him down also. So Rabbeinu Zal says, when you see them fleeing, when a person is experiencing sosein v'simcha, and he sees the yoga in vanocha trying to run away, he should chase after them and grab them and say, no, no, you're not getting away, you're coming with me. You're going to celebrate with me. A person takes the bills. A person is worried. He has this whole stack of bills and everything. And every time he looks at them, he gets panicky and everything. When they're starting to dance, he grabs the bills and he holds them like a Sefer Torah and he's dancing with his bills. What am I dancing with the bills? I'm dancing that even though I have these bills, I can still dance. I can still drink a glass of wine. I can still have a Coca-Cola. I can still laugh. I can still crack a joke. This is this concept of taking the yoga in Vanocha and including it in the simcha. This elevates the simcha to a completely different level. This gives it a shlemus. Just like we said in the example of the circle, the rikid, and I've seen this myself. I've seen it on Simchas Torah or other occasions when, again, people have different natures and different circumstances and the whole shul is celebrating and there's this one guy or one or two guys and somebody grabs them and forces, pushes that, won't let them out. And unless if the person is a Jew and they have a Jewish heart and they're incapable of going against, you know, going actively against an entire shul, when they're being pulled in that way, they let go, they're forced to release, to let go of their anger and let go of their worry and everything and celebrate. And sometimes that multiplies the simcha, the celebration. When we go on with our shurim, we get into the Likutei Halachos, we're going to see a multitude of examples of this. I'd like to give just one or two examples briefly so that we'll understand this better. We've mentioned many times the concept of the Jewish people who represent holiness, the nations of the Goyim, which represent unholiness, all the evil characteristics. Each one is outstanding in a different one. This one specializes in murder, this one in adultery. The Gemara says that when Hashem was offering the Torah to the Jewish people, he first offered it to the other nations. And each time they asked, what's in it? And Hashem mentioned a particular point. They said, oh, not for us. That's our specialty. We can't refrain from that. So we have these two extremes. We have the Tumah and the holiness. And the Jewish people are referred to as Simcha. The Jewish people are joy. Oyer zarua latzadik ule yishrei leiv simcha. There are many psukim that describe a tzaddik or a good Jew as joy and happiness. And the other nations are referred to as unhappiness. Atzvus, morash chayra. Even when we see them laughing, and we know it's make-believe, it's paper thin. A minute later, they're in depression, they're killing each other, all kinds of sadness and sorrow. It's a cover, it's a false cover. The shleimus of Klal Yisrael, the real shleimus of Klal Yisrael, is the converts. Those people from the other nations who are worthy of being brought, integrated into the Jewish people, when they are, they elevate Klal Yisrael to a completely, completely different level. We see people like Rabbi Akiva ben Gerim, Rabbi Meir, who the Gemara says came from Gerim, Dovid HaMelech, Moshiach, Dovid HaMelech, who is called the Bad Chodamalka, the joy of the Jewish people. Dovid HaMelech comes from Rus. The main shleimus of the Simcha is only when we're able to take these elements, these non-Jews. They started off as non-Jews. They were part of the Yogoyin Vanocha and were able to include them into the Kedusha. That takes it to a completely different level. That's the Shleimus. Just like we have the concept of Shnayim Mikra, the Echot Targum. We know that we have the Torah, which is Loshon HaKodesh. It's the holy language. We have the languages of the Goyim that are referred to as the opposite. And we have this Avoida on Erev Shabbos, that we say Shnai Mikra, we use Targum, which is an intermediary between Lashon Kodesh and the languages of the Goyim, and by including that into the Kedusha, by sandwiching that with two portions of Mikra, that's the Shleimus of the Torah. Another example, we know that all the Karbonos, whenever we speak about the Beis HaMikdash, there are many psukim that emphasize that the Beis HaMikdash was a center of joy. Usemachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem. You will rejoice with all the korbonos, all the sacrifices that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Of all the different korbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the holiest? The ketores, the special offering of spices, the 11 spices, that by far is the holiest. For many reasons, the Zohar HaKadosh says that reaches up to the infinite, to the highest levels. We have a pasuk, Shemen uketores yesamach leiv, that oil and ketores bring joy to the heart. Ketores represents the epitome of simcha. What's special about ketores? What's special about ketores is besides the fact that it has 10 spices that had a beautiful sweet aroma to them, it had an 11th one that had a terrible odor to it, the chelbana. And by being able to integrate the chelbana with the other 10 spices, that's what made this the ultimate in simcha. That's what makes the ketores this shleimus of simcha. One final example, the case of the first mitzvah in the Torah for a Jew to get married. The pasuk says, "Loi toiv heyois odom levadoi," that it is not good for a person to remain alone. Person has to seek out a mate and look to get married. Rav Nelson Zal in Likutei Halachos in Even Hoezer, the section that speaks about all the different laws pertaining to marriage, right in the beginning of that section, he has a very elaborate discussion, quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hashori b'lo isha." Shoroi b'loi simcha. A person who is living without a wife is living without joy. Rav Nosson Zal says, how could you tell that to me? What are you talking about? The pasuk says, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Esamchei Leiv. The Torah makes a person happy. We have tens of thousands of people, young men, sitting in Beis Medrashes, learning Torah. How in the world can you tell these people that they're living without simcha when the Torah says that the Torah itself is simcha? And what is it about a woman? What is it about a wife? She's going to make me happy? On the contrary, until I get married, I'm free as a bird. No electric bill, no water bill. Mommy and daddy are taking care of everything. Or even if they're not, it's easier in every... I introduce a wife into my life, it's a whole mountain of struggles and difficulties and everything. What does the Gemara mean when it says, Hashrei b'lish, Hashrei b'lish simcha? The answer is, based on this chapter in Likutei Moran, we can understand it. You're right. The woman represents Midas Hadin. She is the left side. She is the atzvus, the worries. When the snake was looking for who to entice, who to try to convince to go against Hashem, he knew he had a much better chance going after Chava than going after Adam. She's more vulnerable and susceptible. She's closer to the Nachash. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal explains, when a Jew is zeiche, based on Hashem's instruction, when a Jew is zeiche to go take a woman who is coming from Din, who is coming from the left side, who by nature is more easily drawn to atzvus, to sadness and depression, than to joy and happiness. And when the man introduces her into his life, he merges her, he integrates her into his life, he takes this yogoin vanocha, and with his strength, with his kesher to the Torah, which is wall-to-wall simcha, pikudei Hashem yishorim esamchei leiv, with his kesher to the tzaddik, who is simcha, oyer zarua la tzaddik ulishlev simcha, he's able to turn her around. He's able to make her part of the simcha. He's able to lift her up. That's shleimus ha-simcha. That's what the Gemara means when it says ha-shori b'leisha, shori b'leis simcha. It means he's living without shleimus of simcha. True, he's experiencing some joy in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, but it's not the kind of simcha as when the person is zeicha to take the yogoin v'anocha and be able to include that and integrate that into the simcha. And Rabbeinu Zal actually adds in closing this, that this yogoin v'anocha, these feelings of sadness, worry, anxiety, tension, anger, all of these feelings are the sitrachra. They are this other side which does not want to allow itself to be included into the Kedusha. It doesn't want to become a merkava for the Kedusha. That's the wording that's used in the Sifrei Kabbalah, like a chariot that a person rides on. A person, a Jew, is supposed to want to be a merkava for Hashem, a chariot, a vessel in which the holiness should enter or upon which the holiness should ride. These forces of the Sitrachra, they don't want that. They don't want to be made a merkava for the Kedusha. And therefore, the minute they see celebration or joy, they run. Therefore, the person has to force them, twist their arm to include them in the Kedusha. And that brings about this shleimus ha-simcha. And this is especially, like we mentioned, regarding a person's wife. The Gemara speaks about when a person gets married for the first year, the shana rishona, not to leave the house, and the terminology that's used in the Gemara regarding the relationship between husband and wife, l'sameach es ishtoi. Again, it seems strange. On one hand, the Torah tells us, if I'm living without a wife, I'm living without simcha, which makes it sound like she's the joy of my life. And on the other hand, we have these other places in the Torah where it seems to imply that I have to inject simcha into her, I have to make her happy, implying that she's lacking in happiness. The answer is that both of these are true. It's because of the fact that she, by nature, is lacking in happiness, through this item of me using everything that I have, everything that the man has, his Torah, his tzaddik, all the different things that we've discussed and that we're going to discuss, by which the man has it more natural and more easy to be able to celebrate and be happy, his mission is to be able to share this with the wife and thereby elevate her and turn her around from the sadness, the atzvus, the depression, and include her in the simcha. That's when the simcha is really b'shleimus. Shubizoche, by understanding the advice that's given here, we find nothing is coincidence. The parsha of the week, both last week and this week. Last week we had parshas Shlach, and this week we're reading parshas Korach. Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Kutei Halachos, he says that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us in one place that the Meraglim, these people who were chosen on a mission to spy out the land, one of the reasons why they tried to block the Jews from going into the land of Eretz Yisrael was because they were on a higher madrega than Eretz Yisrael. Their spiritual level was above Eretz Yisrael. That's the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh, and this is why they felt that going into Eretz Yisrael would be a step down for them. Rav Nosson Zal says, hold on a second. If you're telling me that they were above Eretz Yisrael, then sounds like they were right. Why should they want to come into Eretz Yisrael if it's going to involve lowering themselves? And Rav Nosson Zal again uses the concept in this chapter in Likutei Moran to explain that we know Rabbeinu Zal teaches us in Likutei Moran that shleimus, the shleimus of a person who's doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim throughout their whole life, is not yet considered complete, because there comes a time when the person leaves the world and they go to the next world, and now they've left a vacuum, they've left a void in this world. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us that complete is if the person is zeicha to leave behind children or students or good deeds that the person did. The person builds a yeshiva or something else, where even after they leave the world, there are things going on. Even when they're up on high, they still remain down below. That's shleimus. As Dovid HaMelech said, Agura ba'ohol cho'ilamim, Hashem, allow me to live in your tent in worlds, plural. That living in the tent of Hashem is only if a person, even when they're going up on high, they still make sure to be connected down below. And Rav Nosson Zal says that this was the mistake of the Meraglim. What they didn't realize is that a true tzaddik and true shleimus, even if he's on a higher place, he knows that if he goes down, if he reaches down, it's a temporary down. If his reason in reaching down is to attain an even higher level of greatness, a higher madrega, then that's the real shleimus. Had they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, had they accepted going into Eretz Yisrael and everything, they would have seen that even though it involved a yerida, because Eretz Yisrael represents emuna, shchon eretz urei emuna, malchus, which within the framework of Kiddush is referred to as one of the lowest levels, even though it's stepping down, it's like stepping down on a diving board. The more you step down, it propels you, it pushes you to an incredible, to go to attain much, much higher levels. And that's what would have happened if they would have followed Moshe Rabbeinu's advice and guidance without trying to second guess him, without trying to be smarter than him. So too in the case of Korach. Korach asked questions. He wanted to try to undermine the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught that a person wears a talis made of wool, and with one string of tchelis, the talis is kosher and good and it's perfect. Korach wanted to show, we're going to go Rolls Royce. We're going to do the ultimate. We're going to be very, very religious. We're going to bring in talisim that are all tchelis. And by doing that, or a house that's wall-to-wall sfarim, does it need a mezuzah? These questions, he was trying to show He was trying to disprove the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu had given to the Jewish people. He was trying to make it seem as if a person goes to a very high level, if he's wearing something that's all tcheles, or if he has a house that's full of svarim, he doesn't have to do these small tikkunim, put a little mezuzah, a little 3-inch mezuzah on his wall. He's doing 100 times that amount. And the Torah shows that Korach was mistaken, that the path of Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, the Torah, is such that Hashem wants the highest one and the lowest one to be included. And in certain cases, no matter how high he is, Moshe Rabbeinu and the most common Jew have to wear the same pair of tefillin. We can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's Moshe Rabbeinu, his tefillin will be made from solid gold. And another Jew, a simple Jew, his tefillin will be made from leather. All of us have to conform to the simplicity of the Torah and not deviate, not to the right or not to the left, of the presentation that the rabbis, the chachamim, give us of the Torah. This is another example of this concept, that the shleimus of Kedusha always involves the combination, the unification of upper and lower, bringing them together properly, which is something that the true tzaddikim are the ones who know how to do this in the best manner. We talk about tefillah b'tzibur. The Gemara says that the tefillah of an individual, as great as the person is, could be accepted, could be rejected. But when a group of 10 get together to be mispalel, the Gemara says that's something that Hashem will never reject. Why? Again, because in a group like that, you have the combination, like in the Ketoris, you have tzaddikim, you have beinonim, and you have reshoim. That's the shleimus of the Kedusha. The Gemara makes a statement that a fast, a tainus, which does not include in it the reshoim, is incomplete. That tefillah will not yet be accepted by Hashem. Showing us, again, this element of taking the yogoyin vanocha, by taking the reshoim and being able to include them in the Kedusha, that's the real shleimus. Shbizrecha, to be able to digest these words and to know how to apply them in every facet of our lives and achieve the level of simcha about which the Torah writes, ki v'simcha seitzeyun, that with simcha we'll be able to exit from all of our golos, from all of our troubles and difficulties, and be zochet to all the yeshuas that we need.